Kwaba, Ekabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bangladesh Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's of course time for Sats and Gwe, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps on some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines around the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I am Miss Purple.
And I am Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa. As Bankless Africa, we are, of course, also in our growth era, so we ask that you subscribe if you haven't already, share this episode with a friend or a colleague to keep them in the loop, and if you have the time, please do leave a comment so we can continue to grow in the direction that you would like to see us grow. Now, without much further ado, we're going to get straight into it with our market updates.
We're starting with Bitcoin, which currently sits at $26,069.18. Slightly down from what it was last week at $26,145.79. Now, I would see that Bitcoin has somehow slumped from its peak high this year at about 31K to about 26K, which is still fair. It's not as bad as it was. Rock bottom at 17, 18K there about a couple months ago. Ethereum currently sits at $8,669.46. Slightly down from what it was last week at $1,674.78. The Optimism token currently sits at $1.46, slightly down from what it was last week at $1.48, which is not very significant anyway. The Matic token currently still sits at the $0.57 mark, and the Bank token has maintained the $0.004 mark. All in all, some of these seem to have maintained some form of stability over the course of the past week. And we hope to see this stay the same, because everybody knows what happens when these things go tanking too fast. It just Rockefellers the whole market and everybody is, you know, upset and all of that. So I feel like this is maybe not the best, but it's still good.
And of course, as always, don't ever, ever get too comfortable, because you never know what's going to happen. So always remember that because we're in the frontier, because we're on the precipice of something potentially phenomenal, potentially mind-blowing and groundbreaking, anything could happen. It could go either direction. So always, always be careful and remember that you could literally lose everything that you put in. Now, moving over to our national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is currently at 11.28 cedi to the dollar, coming down from last week's 11.20 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 769.50 naira to the dollar, down from last week's 769.20 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African Rand are currently at 19.06 Rand and Luti to the dollar, down from last week's 18.95 Luti and Rand to the dollar. The King and Shilling is currently at 142.35 shillings to the dollar, up from last week's 142.58 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is currently at 602.27 franc to the dollar, down from last week's 598.26 franc to the dollar. Overall, the national currencies are also not doing as well as one would hope. But once again, always remember, anything that involves money is always bound to be dangerous. So be careful what you do with it, and always, always, always make sure that you make wise decisions with your money. To give you a quick highlight of some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting from last week's episode of Sats and Gwe, my particular favorite one is Bundle Africa, which has unfortunately shut down its exchange operations to focus on Cashlink peer-to-peer service. Now, by favorite, I more so mean that it caught my interest more than a lot of the others. So if you'd like to hear more on that, be sure to listen to last week's episode of Sats and Gwe.
And my personal favorite from last week would be the headline about the Association of Bureau de Change Operators of Nigeria, APCON, which called on the Nigerian government to ban Binance, stating that Binance somewhat had too much power and had created some sort of interference and the powers that APGON had in determining the value of the Naira in the parallel market. And that brings us to the wrap-up of our headlines from last week. We're moving on to our headlines for this week. A Brazilian court finds mastermind of South African Bitcoin Ponzi scheme.
A Brazilian court has found Johan Steinberg, the CEO of the Bitcoin Ponzi scheme known as Mirror Trading International, or MTI, guilty of using falsified identification cards. Steinberg was apprehended by Brazilian law enforcement in December 2021 after he left South Africa in late 2020. Steinberg was discovered to be in possession of a fake Brazilian identity document at the time of his detention. The extradition process for the MTI CEO reportedly got underway after his arrest by South African authorities. However, the 3.5-year sentence for Steinberg was reduced to a fine of slightly over $31,000 by the court. And according to reports, the defense team for Steinberg and the government have both appealed the court's ruling. I always find it quite comical that, you know, you'll think, oh yes, I've covered all my bases. Nobody's going to know that I have committed this fraud, or, you know, I've duped people of their money through a Ponzi scheme or whatever it is that people get into. And then you run off into a foreign country thinking you're good, only for you to get nabbed for something completely unrelated. And then that's how you get caught for the other thing that you did. So I personally think it serves him right, in, you know, to get caught and have to serve a sentence. I just worry that finding a person who's just taking people's money, to me, that's just, I'm not okay with that personally. That's just a personal stance. I think I tend to feel that, you know, people who cause or who are involved in such crimes should perhaps receive much tougher sentences. But once again, that is just, you know, personal standpoint. I don't truly fully know how certain decisions are made in court. I am neither a lawyer nor am I a judge. So this is just from a personal standpoint why I feel maybe they could have been slightly tougher on him. Moving on to our next headline, still in South Africa, the country is seeing an uptick in crypto fraud, which seems to be related to deepfakes.
Now, crypto fraud is by far the biggest problem of the cryptocurrency industry, and is evidently so in South Africa's crypto industry. Now, according to data done by SumSub, a transaction monitoring and verification services provider, fraud cases within South Africa's cryptocurrency sector increased by 25% during the second quarter of 2023. The effects of fraud on the crypto landscape can be very far-reaching, and in recent times, we see that a myriad of cases continue to pop up by the day. It was reported in May that investors had accused crypto startup Planet Mining Pool of defrauding them of substantial amounts of money. Well, Planet Mining Pool prided itself on being a leading global one-stop blockchain cloud mining platform. Now, additionally, in 2022, which was the case that was just the headline that was just read above, the U.S. Commodities Futures Trading Commission filed charges against Johan Steinberg, a resident of South Africa, in a case involving $1.7 billion, which is also equivalent to 31.6 billion rand of Bitcoin fraud scam. Now, besides South Africa, the report also covers countries including Nigeria, Kenya, and Tanzania. In Tanzania, crypto fraud has increased by 250% over the past year, and fintech-related fraud has also significantly increased by a margin of about 150% in the past year. Our crypto fraud cases have increased dramatically in Kenya as well, more than doubling since the previous year. Nigeria has also reported a 59% increase in IT services fraud and a 46% increase in fintech-related fraud, all in the space of the past year. Now, most of these scams are perpetrated through identity theft and deep fake fraud. Again, we cannot emphasize this enough, the need for you to keep your ID cards, your logins, everything you have that can be used to, you know, identify you on the internet safe, because people always try to take advantage of that kind of info. You know, you think you are safe, and next thing, somebody is trying to hack your bank account, somebody is trying to move your money, somebody is trying to use your identity numbers or anything to perpetrate fraud or to even rob you. And then you can't do anything about it, because it's basically going to appear like you are the one who is performing that transaction, whereas it isn't you. So as much as possible, try to keep your, you know, anything that can be used to access your money or your private information safe, because cyber criminals are out there to get you, and they will get you if you don't stay fraud aware. Now moving on to the next headline. CoinGecko's latest report puts West Africa at the top of the continent's crypto craze with a 75% interest in crypto.
The West African region has been ranked by the CoinGecko report as the region with the highest interest in crypto, with 74.7% of the continent's total interest being concentrated in this particular region. The other regions, Northern Africa, Southern Africa, East Africa, and Central Africa, only rank at 10%, 9.6%, 3.8%, and 1.9% respectively in terms of crypto interest. However, Northern Africa and East Africa currently have more countries present and active in the frontier in one way or another, with 4 countries per region, which to me still says a lot about West Africa having less countries present, or maybe perhaps less countries interested in crypto, even though they seem to still have the highest interest. Of course, Ghana and Nigeria have shot these numbers up much higher than any of the other regions. In contrast, however, the following countries did not record any CoinGecko page. In contrast, the following countries did not record any CoinGecko web page views during the period of data collection. And these countries are Burundi, Cabo Verde, Central African Republic, Chad, Comoros, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Djibouti, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Malawi, Sao Tome, and Principe. This is not to say that the citizens of these countries are not interested in crypto per se. Perhaps they use other platforms to access their crypto-related platform instead of CoinGecko. It does, however, say that the likelihood of a high interest within these countries is very low. Once again, I do not expect these numbers. I guess, you know, when you're in the eye of the storm, you don't truly see what exactly goes on the outside. So these numbers are always an eye opener to show us just how far behind we still are and how much more we still need to do for us to even get remotely close to adopting the industry or even fully understanding it. Maybe not even fully, but understanding enough to be curious, you know, because understandably, a lot of countries will make it illegal because they do not understand nearly enough for them to even be interested in venturing in that direction. So it is quite humbling to see just how far we still need to progress as a continent for us to be able to do much in terms of developing. On to our next headline for this week. The Africa Blockchain Institute partners with Web3 Tech.
African Blockchain Institute, ABI, a blockchain think tank that is reimagining the possibilities of education, research, and high-end deployment for Africa's digital transformation, has announced its new partnership with Web3 Tech, a leading blockchain developer in Russia and CIS. The partnership seeks to research the experience of blockchain integration in various sectors across Russia and how it could be applied to Africa. They also plan to host joint educational events and work on various blockchain projects together. ABI will bring the local insights while Web3 Tech provides the resources and expertise. Interesting. An incubation program is in the works with the aim of promoting emerging African blockchain startups and encouraging collaboration between Africa-based and Russia-based projects. The executive director of ABI, Mr. Kayode Babarinde, says that the partnership could be, and I quote, a catalyst for positive change, economic growth, and innovative adoption of blockchain technology in Africa. Well, again, it would seem that I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now globally between Russia and Africa. A lot of African countries trying to do things with Russia. When I say do things, I mean, collaborate, build, develop with Russia. And it would seem, or it would appear that Russia or Russian companies are also starting to take interest in Africa's blockchain space, because before now, we know that it's mostly always, companies based in the US or the UK or sometimes in Asia that have tried to show interest in developing Africa's blockchain space. But now Russia is also in the game. That makes the race even tighter. And whatever it is worth, I will always be proud of every single entrant into the space, every single investor who believes in the promise that the African blockchain industry is offering. And the Africa Blockchain Institute, I would just say this is a fantastic collaboration with Web3 Tech. And the fact that this can potentially ripple across the Commonwealth of Independent States, that is the CIS, there's a ton of countries in the Commonwealth. The fact that globally, more and more countries are willing to collaborate to build a much more robust and very elaborate blockchain space, trying to build a system that is truly connected and that truly works, is remarkable. I am happy to read this always. I mean, I love collaborations. I feel like the best way to get things done at lightning speed is when we work together, and I'm always a fan of people working together. So I love that. Kudos to Mr. Kayode Babarinde, the Executive Director of ABI, and to the Web3 Tech team. And now moving on to a last but not least headline for the week. Luno celebrates 10 years in South Africa.
South Africa's biggest crypto exchange, Luno, is set to have traded over 655 billion rands, which is equivalent to $34.36 billion US, or 7 million Bitcoin in today's prices, since its inception in South Africa 10 years ago. This multi-million dollar trading volume was achieved by its 12 million customer base across 40 countries through 388 million transactions. Some of the interesting findings that Luno has shared are that the average user tends to be male at the median age of 35 and spends around 650 rands, or roughly $34, on their first purchase. The gender split is set to be 36% female and 64% male. However, an interesting point to note is that the adoption is seemingly greater amongst women, and the overall users tend to hold onto their crypto for roughly 6 months, which is just barely longer than the 4.5-month global average. This wholly owned digital currency group Investment plans to get its financial services provider license in South Africa and in other markets. They also have plans to pursue a potential stock exchange listing and add more curated coins. Think it's quite phenomenal to hear a crypto exchange say they are celebrating 10 years. I honestly didn't know about crypto until very recently, I guess. Well, to be fair, I'd heard about it. It's one of those things that when you hear about it the first time, you kind of dismiss it because you think, ugh, it's not for me. But to hear that there is an exchange that has been around for 10 years in the country that you've been in, that is quite mind-blowing. That goes to say that even as we are here today, there are still plenty of people who 10 years from now, they will be shocked that we're celebrating 10 years, or say Luno celebrating 20 years of its existence in South Africa, if that will be the case. It is crazy to me that we have come this far and still have so far to go, and some of us are literally just coming in today or tomorrow, or will still be coming in the next few years. That goes to show that there is a vast world out there, and I think the activities that have been going on these past few weeks of, the very ever popular on-chain summer goes to show that there's still so much work to be done. So with that, thank you so much once again for listening until the very end. But I would like to share some seemingly random stats, but perhaps a bit of a motivator for those of you who tend to feel a little down when you look at the amount of work we do still have to do. Did you know that over 350 million adults in Africa are considered financially excluded because they live hand to mouth without the option of a bank account? According to the World Economic Forum, roughly 500 million people in sub-Saharan Africa do not have proof of identity. In contrast, over 600 million mobile money accounts have been registered by 2022 in sub-Saharan Africa, with over $600 billion in transactions. So do with that information what you will. Of course, always go do your own research. Don't take my word for it. You can go look those numbers up yourself and see what it is that you find. But there is progress, you know, in some way or another. We are progressing, we are growing, we are evolving from the financial systems that we have grown up with, that we have known. Because if something does not serve you, you need to evolve from it. It does not make any sense for us to keep on with the things that have not been serving us for eons and for centuries. So I would like to say that it is our turn now. But of course, just a reminder that none of what we have shared today is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that have made this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And if you have stuck with us till the very end of this episode, you might as well subscribe so you don't miss out on our next episodes. So until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.